This is the Lifted Life Podcast. We created the show to help you live a lifted life. Let's do it.
Today is episode 23. You don't have to be good at everything.
You don't, Tim. Did you know that?
Well, when you are good at everything, it's hard to know that you don't have to be good at everything.
Ba-dum-bum. Good one. All right, folks. Today, we are talking about the idea of spreading ourselves too thin, trying to be everything to everyone, and forgetting and losing touch with what we really love to do and what we're really good at. So, as I mentioned in the description of this show, it's really come up a lot for us where I keep saying to my biz partner and husband, you know, I'm just not good at that and I'm okay with that. I mean, I'm saying that again and again and again. And then it kind of hit me. Some people may not be comfortable saying I'm not that good at that and I'm not that good at that. They might start to feel like, oh, maybe I'm not good at anything, or maybe this is an indication of my worth. Maybe I'm not worthy.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Is I think a lot of people think that when you say you're not good at something, then you're admitting that you're not worthy in that area. And I think people feel like you can't admit that because then you're admitting defeat, I guess.
Right. And I think that for me, it comes so effortlessly and easily to say I'm not good at that, that I kind of wanted to dive in because I'm not someone with low self-worth or low self-confidence. Instead, I feel like that's an area I'm really actually pretty good at. I feel good about myself. I try not to attach my self-worth to outer things, etc. So for me, being able to say I'm not good at that, no problem, or I don't really know. Ooh, especially as a parent, our kids will ask something. I'll just say, I think you should ask your dad about that. And then there's other areas where
I say just ask Google or Alexa.
Sometimes. Hey, did you activate her?
Nope.
No, simmer down. Okay. So for me, though, I'm quite comfortable with saying that's not an area that I'm aware about. That's not an area that I care about. That's not an area that I've researched, and therefore it's not an area I'm going to answer. Do you want to research it together? That's more what I say as a parent. Mm-hmm. But anyway, and the reason I can do this is because there are some things that I think I'm pretty darn good at. And as I've explored the past 10 years as an entrepreneur, I feel like I've gotten really clear on the things I'm good at and the things I'm not so good at. And so for me, I really lean into the things I'm good at, and I really don't care so much that there are things that I'm not as good at. And so for me, it's about knowing who I am, practicing those things on a regular basis, going deep with that work, and then releasing the rest of it, saying there's some things I'm just not that good at, and that's okay.
Yeah, but don't you think that typically things that you're good at, you enjoy doing? So the fact that you're enjoying what you're doing, it makes it more fun to do, and then you can build and get better and better and better at that one thing, two things, whatever many things it is. But you don't, to me, like, it's not really possible to be good at everything.
Right.
Like, that's not even possible. So why not focus on the one, two, three, four things that you really enjoy doing? Do that from a place of
enjoyment, pleasure, yeah. Excitement,
and then
service.
Build upon that. And then you don't feel like when you're doing those things, like it's work, it's just fun.
Right. Although I did just have this idea pop into my head from Steve Chandler's recent book, Creator, which just came out on Amazon. You should check it out. I love his books. He's one of my favorite mentors. He said something really interesting, which is basically we often buy into these labels of I'm not that good at that, so I can't do that. So for me, I want to be clear here. That's not exactly what I'm saying. It's not that I'm saying I can't do those things or I'm not willing to practice them. I'm talking about instead really leaning into your gifts and what you're good at and what you enjoy doing. That's like that sweet spot on the Venn diagram. So I'm not saying cop out and say, oh, I'm not good at video conferencing calls, which is what his example was in the book, because if we practice something, we can get good at it. But let's say you practice it and practice it, you get better at it, but you still don't enjoy it, then it's not in that sweet spot.
Yeah.
And it's not sustainable. So as entrepreneurs, as business owners, we owe it to ourselves to learn what are the things that we enjoy and we're good at, because that's the most sustainable thing. It's the same way if you're looking at your job, at your housework, at anything that you're participating in with your kids, some moms beat themselves up because they don't craft with their kids. And then there's other moms who are like, I don't love to read out loud. And then there's other moms who say, I hate to play games. But usually there's something you enjoy to do that your kids also enjoy. And that's the sweet spot. So don't beat yourself up about the other things you're not so good at. Instead, find something that comes naturally to you that everyone enjoys and it's of service for the goal in mind, and just lean into that. That's what I'm saying.
Are you saying that, I think you gave an example of the moms that don't craft with their kids. Are you saying that they feel like they should?
Yes.
And then they feel bad about themselves because they're not doing what they should be doing in their minds or in someone else's mind.
Yeah, and we'll be fair here. If there's dads who have craft guilt, we'll envelope those as well.
No, I just get hung up on the idea that they feel like they should be doing this because that is a whole nother problem.
Sure.
But I totally agree with you. I think you're better off picking a handful of things that you enjoy doing that you're good at and get even better at those and be an expert in that area and forget about all the other stuff that you should be doing.
Right. Because should is heavy and it's not sustainable and you won't keep doing it and nobody wins because it brings this heavy energy. So this show topic in general being you don't have to be good at everything, it's really could have been titled Focus on What You're Good At.
I'm only good at one thing. That would have been a good title.
What if I'm only good at one thing? Yeah.
Well, then but do it.
Right.
Do it and be the best at it.
But I think we get stuck when we try to be everything to everyone and fail to acknowledge the areas that really light us up. So whether that's journaling, writing, or something totally different, those are things that pop into my mind of things I really love. They really help me feel more like me. But if somebody that doesn't enjoy writing is constantly beating themselves up that they're not writing, well, that's no fun. That's not sustainable.
You know, something that I've been journaling recently is I think a lot about there are certain things I want to be good at or certain things that I want. And I think it's really important to look at your progress. Not so much like the end goal of where you think you should be, but kind of looking back on your progress and seeing that you're getting better. And that's what I think what is important is seeing your progress, seeing that you're trending in the right direction, that you have momentum going the right way.
Right. And if you would have just fallen into the belief, oh, I'm not a good writer, then you maybe wouldn't have ever tried or you wouldn't have stuck with it.
I heard something the other day about like the first time you do something will be the worst time. You'll be the worst at it at that time.
Hopefully, if you go back to episode one of the Lifted Life podcast, you'll see that we've only improved.
But the point was that you only get better and that you always have momentum and you're always going in some direction. And the first time you do something for the first time, it will be the worst time. You'll be the worst at it. But then you can only
get better. You sure that wasn't me? Because my analogy is always the first time you draw a shark versus the 100th time you draw a shark. Haven't you heard me say that whole thing?
You probably said it, but Mike Kimski is the one that said it to me. But
well, that's not my name.
You're not Mike Kimski.
That's not my name. No. So my analogy is always with the kiddos who, you know, my son said, I want to learn to draw sharks. I want to be really good at sharks. And I said, well, draw a shark. And he drew a shark and it's kind of meh. Same thing happened when I decided I want to be a jewelry designer. I held up a pair of earrings and I was like, babe, I made an earring.
He's like, that ain't no shark.
And then focus. No, I switched. You said, that's an ugly earring. And I'm like, yeah, but it's an earring. And then I kept practicing and I made better earrings. So anyway, the first time you go at something, video conferencing calls, speaking in meetings, whatever it is, you're not going to be as good. What?
Podcasting.
You're not going to be as good. So we're not saying don't try new things. We're not saying don't be willing to suck. You have to be willing to suck at first. You have to be willing to put yourself out there. You have to be willing to try new things. But continue to be open to that sweet spot of what you enjoy and what adds value. So that is the sweet spot. And if you continue to try new things, I think you'll find new sweet spots. But it's not just about grinding it out, doing all the things for all the people, and feeling guilty that you're not able to do everything quite as perfect as you thought you should.
But that brings up a good point. Mm-hmm. Who the hell said we have to be good at everything? Like, I agree that, like, I would have believed, I would say most people believe, yeah, I need to be good at everything. But why? Who said that? Why do we think that?
Mm-hmm. Can you think of a specific example? Like, in what area of life?
In life. I don't think anyone wants to admit they're bad at something.
Mm-hmm. But I do it all the time. I told you all the time, like,
you're
that's not
exception.
My area.
You're a unicorn in this world.
But I do it. I can only do it because I know the other things I'm really good at. So for instance, for example, paperwork type things, detail oriented things, things that require long amounts of focus in regard to numbers and boring things. I'm like, hey, that's not my area. But if someone starts writing an email about those things, I want to be involved because I can phrase it in a way that
makes sense.
Makes sense, but also conveys the exact idea that I want to convey. Even sometimes if I have a friend call me and say, I'm having a trouble with this, how do I convey this to this person without sounding rude? I'm like, oh, just say it like this. And they're like, dang, girl, how do you do that? Just weave your words like a basket or something. And that's my gift. That is the area that I excel in. I also am an idea person. And so I have lots of ideas, and there's ideas everywhere, and I love the feeling of new ideas. And so sometimes if implementation is not my strong suit, I just lean into the idea that I'm an idea person. But there's times where I have to implement. There's times where I have to do the details. I'm just saying, in the big picture, if I can delegate that, hire it out, offer it up to you, my love, then I do. So, and I don't feel bad about it because I know that my time is best spent on those other types of tasks. That's how I can move the needle forward on the business.
Yeah. But what I was getting at is there was a point when I would have felt bad that I wasn't doing the things you listed, even though I'm not good at those things.
That time was not that long ago.
I understand this.
And I kept saying, don't feel bad about it. That's silly. This is what I do. You do what you do. We make a team.
So my point was that I can sympathize with people that would say, but yeah, but I should be good at that. And I was there, but I can see why that's not really useful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, A, you can't be good at everything. And B, why? Why not be good at the things you enjoy and the things you want to do?
And be really good at and those things.
Be really good at those, yeah.
And bring such an energy to them that people say, wow, I had no idea someone could be so excited about words and use a metaphor of basket weaving. Wow, I didn't even know. Boom.
It's amazing.
Okay, so what other thoughts are coming up for you? I mean, this was an episode we kind of whipped up. We've had a lot of things going on with the business. This is another fresh episode. You're listening to this the day after it was recorded. That's not always such a good thing. We like to have a few in the queue. We've just been really busy launching a new product, getting reviews up. It's really exciting because we are starting to get some reviews, but that review hustle game is no joke. So if you see a little sweat dripping down my brow, it's because I got this review hustle game. So if you've tried one of our probiotics and you love it, you haven't left a review, would you do that for us? It would really, really help a ton. Sorry, that was a side note. What else you got? Anything?
Don't know.
Should we end the episode with a permission slip? We grant you permission, Lifted Lifers, to no longer be good at everything. We grant you permission to release the need to be good at everything. We release the need to do it all yourself. You have now been granted permission to ask for help, to out loud say when you're not good at something, and even to out loud say when you are good at something. Ooh, isn't that a good little... Like, some people are more uncomfortable saying that they are good at something.
Ooh.
They'll say all day long,
well, the things are bad.
The things they're not good at, but taking credit and saying, oh yeah, that's what I'm good at, makes some people very uncomfortable.
But wouldn't you say also that, I'm thinking about this, so like, someone hearing you say this says, yeah, but I really want to be good at writing, mm-hmm. but I'm not good at it. We're not saying don't study, don't try, don't try to be good at writing, but don't beat yourself up. So mm-hmm. yeah, practice at it, journal every day,
decide what you really want to do mm-hmm. though. I think a lot of times we beat ourselves up for not being something that we don't even want to be anyway.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the different thing. I'm talking about like,
you've decided you want it.
I want it, but you're like, yeah, but I'm not that good, or I've been doing it for a couple of weeks and I'm not this level. Well, that's when you got to keep working at it. If you enjoy it, and mm-hmm. maybe focus more on the joy of doing it instead of the end result.
And you also don't have to say, I'm a good writer. You can say, I'm practicing becoming a good writer.
Yeah.
I'm practicing honoring the space required to be a good writer. I'm committed to this daily routine, which will help me to be the writer I want to become, or insert any other label that you would like to become.
It feels so good working up to being the writer
Boom.
I'm ready to be.
Good one.
I will become one day.
That so I am becoming.
Already am. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, all good things. So if for some reason you're not good at speaking what you're good at, I think that's a real area of healing that you could explore with a journal or through meditation.
I think journaling's good. You know, I'm not a writer, as we, I think, kind of talked about.
Yeah,
but journaling is nice. Even, okay, if you're not a good writer, just, or this is what I do. I just realized no one's going to read it but me. So I just write anyway. And I think that's a good way to get your thoughts out, slow them down, get them on paper. Yeah.
Right. And so maybe a little journal session about what am I really good at? Why am I uncomfortable talking about what I'm good at? Wouldn't it be great if I could openly say I was good at blank? Wouldn't I love to be good at blank? And just kind of explore that too. Because if you're not willing to admit it yourself that you're good at something, think how much you're blocking that flow to whatever it is you're actually good at.
You know, and the last tip I give about journaling, and I give these tips because I, like I just said, I don't like to write. Mm-hmm. And the first time I tried to do journaling, I just looked at the paper and was like, this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And then I just started writing. I'm looking at this blank piece of paper. Like, I just wrote just anything I could think to write. And yeah, I spelled some words wrong, but I just kept going. Mm-hmm. And I just kept writing. And then,
but it also teaches your mind to put thoughts into words, into sentences on the page. So even if it's the most mundane, I can't think of what to write, you're at least writing it.
But that was my story before that, is I'm not a good writer. I don't enjoy this. I'm not going to do this. But instead, I'm like, no, I'm just going to write whatever's in my head.
Right.
And I just kept doing it. Now it's fairly easy to sit down and write something.
It's funny you said it so quickly. That was my story. And I think that if you're a longtime listener, you know what we mean when we say that's my story.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
like
yeah.
The dialogue. Yeah. That's the story I was telling that I believed. And we're all just telling stories all day, every day. And a lot of times, even with, you know, this concept of you don't have to be good at everything, there's a story. Oh, yes, I do. Or if I don't, then people won't do it as good. And I got to tell you, sometimes it's the best thing to do is to release it and let someone else do it for you. We've been talking about this, you and I, a lot about the concept that giving and receiving are practically one and the same. And once you see it that way.
It's two sides of the same thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're giving something, someone else is receiving it. And if they don't receive it, then you can't give it.
Right. Or if you're not willing to receive it, then they can't give it.
Right.
So allow them the opportunity, allow others the gift of being a giver by being an open receiver.
Complete the cycle. Complete the circle.
Yep. Yeah. So, any hoozles, I think that was a great chat.
I think we got it.
Thanks for tuning in this week, everybody. Don't forget, our sponsor this week is share a review with us. That's not a response. But a review on the podcast helps too. So, if you're a longtime listener or you're just tuning in, you're like, dang, girl.